It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this 7th day of September 2021. The first full week of September, broadcast week, is underway. And this is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, well, feel free to pop on by headon.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and lo and behold, you will be greeted by early arrivers Jeremy in Vermont and Otto Deschott and Squeaky as well. And, a good time will be had by all. Your moderator right now is, well, me. Mm-hmm. And, hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. That means today we take note of the vast, copious quantities of Titanic intellect that exist out there in the white wing, maggot, Trump-infused, Trump-infested world, and their entire full speed ahead toward that there iceberg mentality. Yes, yes. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, however, and this program is no different. And so we say thank you. We say thank you today to our seventh day of the month subscribers. Thank you oh so kindly to James in Illinois. And thank you to, could that be? Yeah, that's it. We thank you to James for being our lone seventh day of the month PayPal subscriber. Thank you, James. Thank you. There's Sparky. Okay, Sparky says, I'm here, Robin, just late to the keyboard. Okay, great. I feel so much better when I don't have to moderate the chat room, because that means the chat room goes unmoderated. Because, it's kind of difficult to moderate the chat room and do the program at the same time. Thank you, Sparky. Glad to know it. I hope it's not too infernal there where you are. It's kind of infernal here. It's a toasty 85 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion because, well, dead air conditioner. And kind of sucks, and I don't know when... Maybe if we catch up with the fundraising, yesterday, the Labor Day program, a lot of people were out doing Labor Day stuff, but we still managed to bring in $55, and that was really helpful. And so the fundraising goal for today is $545 to finish off yesterday and bring in today. And who knows, maybe there's an air conditioner in my future. It seems kind of... It seems kind of silly to run out and buy an air conditioner in early September. But then again, it's probably going to stay warm-ish because of our strange and screwed-up climate well into October. So I probably will go out and spring for one of those at some point in time, hopefully sooner rather than later, because it is kind of sticky and nasty and gross back here. And so, I don't know, hopefully it'll cool off a little bit. Probably not by much. But we'll get a Titanic Tuesday in here and see where it takes us. So if you'd like to help out, you know, the PayPal interface is right there at headon.live, and all help is good help. And heck, if we just wiped out yesterday, that would be fantastic. If we caught completely up, I don't know what I'd do. But we have these little miracles from time to time, and I can't thank you enough, because that's how this has stayed on the air for, lo, yay, verily, almost two decades, which just simply boggles my mind. 101 degrees where Sparky is at the moment, so I guess I'd better quit complaining. It's only a really humid 85 degrees in here. So, yeah, I'll hush. Roger telling me the air quality index is 112 and about 90 degrees there in Eugene, where he is. Well, let's get things started for this Titanic Tuesday. I saw something earlier in the day that just sort of crawled all over me, because we asked the question, who do we boycott relative to the fascist onslaught against women in Texas? And we have an answer now. Mm-hmm. And one of the most fascinating things last night, Terry brought to the table, namely the fact that there is no such, at six weeks pregnancy, there is no such thing as a fetal heartbeat. I don't know why I was surprised by that, because it's kind of like another conniption that the white wing vagina haters, womb haters, hustled over the last few years. The Texas womb posse. Yeah. Namely, partial birth abortion. Oh, Jesus, I tell you what, Jesus, they halfway born the baby, and then they start chopping it into sashimi with their partial birth abortion, partial birth and scissors. You've seen that, right? And you've heard how these filthy, disgusting, revolting, lying Republicans seem to just revel in the gory details of what they describe, when in fact, partial birth abortion as a medical procedure does not even exist. There are some instances, and they are horrifying instances, in which a baby that has died in utero has to be sectioned in order to get it out. But that's not partial birth abortion, because partial birth abortion does not exist. It is a sick and macabre fantasy that infects the Republican thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears and pass for brains. And so it should come as no surprise, and yet I was, that no, there's no such thing as a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks pregnancy. Nothing. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Does not exist. It's a trick, at best, of medical technology. So, since they're a bunch of lying sacks of shit anyway, it should come as no surprise that they would continue to lie. Because this has no, again, I'm sorry, I don't know, I don't even have to say this, this has nothing to do with children, it has nothing to do with babies, it has nothing to do with love, it has nothing to do with life. It has to do with the acquisition of brutal political power. That's all. And so a couple of organizations got busy figuring out who it is that has been providing the necessary money for the politicians to run on, who voted in favor, created and voted in favor of this noxious bill that is, for all intents and purposes, the sort of legislative Fort Sumter of 2021. You know, 160 years after, cipher in there, check me, 160 years after the kids from the Citadel decided to start lobbing artillery at a federal installation in Charleston Harbor. Mm-hmm. So one such person is Judd Legum, and he runs a publication called Popular Information. and he wrote about companies who have, quote, held themselves out as champions of women's empowerment and equality. Well, it turns out there are also companies which have given copiously to these Republican dogs in the Republican legislature, these godforsaken, misanthropic, religiously motivated, power-hungry maniacs. And they're at the top. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're headquartered in Texas. AT&T. Yeah. Lily. Lily, who is so cute in the AT&T ads and makes everybody want to go. No. Wonder how the actor who portrays Lily in the AT&T ads would like to know. I wonder how she would feel to know that AT&T over the past few years has given $301,000 to the godforsaken Republicans who sponsored the bill that sets up a womb posse to track down women's most intimate and private medical information. Mm-hmm. And in fact, just a few days before the law went into effect in Texas, there was AT&T issuing a statement commemorating Women's Equality Day. Yeah. I guess they're glad they got it in there before the law went into effect because, well, that is certainly not a thing that exists, women's equality, in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. Then there's, and this was really sort of nauseating. Got to wonder how folks feel about this. Yeah. But, see, there's this fantasy that companies like to maintain that there's a difference between the money they give to political candidates or the money they accept from advertisers and the newsroom. Oh, well, you know, I mean, I've seen it a million times, whether it's CNN, what have you. Well, you know, just because we accept ad dollars from a company that's poisoned a million Americans doesn't mean that we will shy away from, and then you never hear another goddamn story about the company that poisoned a million Americans. Or in this case, you know, SB8 in Texas. Where, since 2018, Comcast NBC Universal, the parent company of MSNBC, you know, the liberal network. Well, they've given $58,250 to the sponsors of SB8 since about 2018. On the other hand, there's CVS Health. They gave $72,500 to the misogynistic dirtbags who brought us SB8. And really, I can't come up with enough pejoratives to describe the sleazy gut buckets who did this in Texas. God, I despise them. I usually refrain from the word hate, but it's a losing proposition to try to avoid the word in this case. And just like I said, with companies trying to draw some sort of distinction between the money they give and the evil that the people do who they give it to, a spokes creep for CVS Health, speaking to Popular Information, said, "Past political contributions are by no means a blanket endorsement of an individual's position on every issue, nor are they an indication of where we'll direct our future support." See, that's a weasel statement. The proper statement for that is, we are appalled that we have been caught supporting this misogynistic legislation, but now that we've been caught, we promise never to give another goddamn dime to another goddamn Republican for as long as this corporation exists, and we will henceforward do everything in our power to make up for our transgression. Yeah, I know, I'm living in a fantasy world, aren't I? Sure I am. Mm-hmm. Then there's United Health Group, right? $90,000 they gave to the sponsors of the sickeningly anti-woman bill. Farmers Insurance, we know a thing or two because we've done a thing or two. Isn't that what they said? Because we've seen a thing or two. Yeah, usually it's something cute like a pair of moose antlers through a windshield or something. Yeah, right. Maybe in their next ad they can have a picture of a bloody coat hanger hanging on the wall. Because Farmers Insurance gave $120,000 to the scum. The syphilitic filth that created this judicial and legal and cultural nightmare for women in Texas. And which will spread across the entire United States of America while we're at it. Okay? Or how about General Motors? Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, women don't drive General Motors automobiles, so why not give $72,750 to these malicious turds? Oh, and by the way, just like a good neighbor, State Farm ain't there. State Farm's not your good neighbor if you are a woman in Texas, because they gave $58,250 to these malignant pustules, these Republicans in Texas. And then there's Ultraviolet. They came up with their own list. AT&T, $291,042. Charter Communications, $219,500. And then there's Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Gave $128,550 to keep women in their place, as it were. Exelon, the hell do they do? $124,000. Oh, but look, United Health Group. I wonder if they treat any actual, I mean, yeah, they do. Women. They gave $121,000 to these Republican miscreants. The Union Pacific Railroad gave $109,000. And by way of excuse, Union Pacific said, we have a history of giving to political candidates on both sides of the aisle in compliance with national and state rules. We consider criteria beyond those that directly impact rail operations and business metrics when evaluating contributions, and we review our giving to all candidates annually. Yeah. And then there's Chevron at $105,500. Numerous elected representatives who take positions on a range of issues. We support them. We're not always aligned with all of their views. In other words, we're just hedging our bets because we're some cynical pricks who, we just want to make sure that we keep everybody bought. United Health Group declined to comment, although anyone with a glass held up to the door might have heard, "Shit, we got caught. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, a fetus at 6 weeks, Jeremy in Vermont reminds us, is about the size of a dry grain of straight rice. It has no heartbeat, let alone a brain. It's not a human. It's a parasite till it's born. It can't live outside the womb. Right. And you know, that in Texas, that's how monumentally stupid these goddamn fetus fetish Republicans are. They actually had the nerve to refer to women, pregnant women, as host bodies. Host bodies. Well, if a woman is a host body, then that tells you what the precious little fetuses are. Parasites. You know, the kind of thing that, I don't know, horse paste kills. And we've got horse paste stories out there, of course. Again, some more. Yeah. Yes, I do mean the Wu-Tang Clan, Jeremy. And their new release of Womb Posse featuring the Lies of Methodist Man and Dead Little Baby Jesus. Oh, we're off and running this evening, aren't we? You certainly are. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Thomas there, letting me know loud and clear on FYINation.com. Thank you, Thomas. Much obliged. So, from that to where? Oh, God. There's so much Titanic intellect out there, I can't even begin. But you know what? We're all just ordinary consumers. And we can at least take to social media and say, you know, I won't be buying any Chevron gasoline. I won't be shipping any tons of coal FOB COD via Union Pacific. I guess I'm kind of out of luck on my Berkshire Hathaway stocks. Charter Communications? Yeah, not going. No, sorry. But then again, they don't do business here. Never mind. But there's AT&T. And they probably need to feel the brunt of this. Farmers Insurance, maybe tweet at them and say, well, ain't gonna do no insuring with you. Won't be buying no General Motors automobile. And sure won't be buying no Snake Farm insurance. Those two, you know, Snake Farm and All Snake. Right. But that's just a starting place. By the way, there was a bit of an announcement or a statement from the World Health Organization. Oh, okay. Brandy Radar says, that's dead little fake white Swedish baby Jesus to you. Absolutely. Absolutely, Randy. Well, the World Health Organization has confirmed something we've been talking about here for a very long time. Dr. Mike Ryan, the executive director of the World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Program, was at a press briefing, and he said that COVID-19 is, in his words, here to stay with us, and that it will continue to mutate, and it will mutate best in unvaccinated countries around the globe, and any hope of actual eradication of it are rapidly diminishing. Yeah. Dr. Ryan went on to say, I think this virus is here to stay with us, and it will evolve like influenza pandemic viruses. It will evolve to become one of the other viruses that affect us. Yeah, we kind of knew that. It is going to go from pandemic to endemic. It's just going to be one of those things that human beings deal with and human beings die from. People have said we're going to eliminate or eradicate the virus, Dr. Ryan went on to note. No, we're not. Very, very unlikely. Maria Van Kerkhove, the WHO's technical lead on COVID-19 at the same event, said, we had a chance in the beginning of this pandemic. This pandemic did not need to be this bad. Of course, I guess you remember the WHO, you don't get to say the rest of the sentence, that is, namely, but Donald Trump was the president of the United States and had become president of the United States by the operation of a vicious, vile, old, racist anachronism from the United States' bloody past history of enslavement called the Electoral College. And so it is this bad. We'll get worse. And thank you, United States of America. Thank you, maggots. Thank you to each and every one of you. Dumbass, benighted, godforsaken fools, and especially thank you to the ladies who showed up at the hearings with T-shirts that said he can grab my pussy anytime. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you, Joe Rogan. Thank you, Alex Jones. Thank you. No, really, don't stand up. Don't wait for the applause. But then again, like I said, we knew this was happening. We knew this was going to be the case because the story's been out there for eons for anybody who cared to actually, you know, pay attention. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very kindly. Billable Rick says, give yourself cowbells, Snake Farm insurance and All Snake insurance. Oh, I've been using that one for years. I got called in on the carpet They're in America's fifth smallest radio market years and years ago for referring to Snake Farm and All Snake. Both the Snake Farm and the All Snake local agents called the guy we lovingly, well, not really lovingly, we referred to as Q-Ball to complain. He said, we advertised there, and that Bob Alkincada done said something bad about us. He called us Snake Farm and All Snake. We're like a good neighbor, goddammit! Yeah. And, of course, I didn't take it very well. Did you tell them that my opinions are my own and not endorsed by this? No, we play that before every show. Do these dipshit dimwits not listen to hear that part? But see, that only that only works if you're like a multi-gazillion dollar broadcast outfit, like NBC, Universal, Comcast, what have you. Man. So, it's going to mutate like the flu, COVID is. How fucking reassuring. Well, nonetheless, that's not sitting any too well with Pink Shrek, Joe Rogan. You know, yesterday we had the clip of Alex Jones trying to coattail on Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan could purchase Alex Jones for what Alex thinks he's worth and sell him for what he's actually worth and never really count the loss because, well, over there at Spotify, they got more dollars than cents and they gave him a boatload of money to sit there and help kill people by lying about the pandemic. And I don't know if Joe Rogan caught the clip that we ran last night. I don't mean on this program. Joe, do something. Goodbye. He's probably getting ready to go on stage right now. Who cares? But he's not happy about the fact that, among others, CNN has pointed out the fact that he's bragging about taking ivermectin, which in at least one form is horse paste and in another form is sheep dip. Mm-hmm. And so, in a conversation, he blathered the following.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Well, well, well. An old horseworm Rogan.
I'm glad you're well, man.
Bro, do I have to sue CNN?
I don't know, do you?
They're making shit up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American
name him, or it didn't happen.
I don't know. I just saw so much news about you. I mean, I would talk to you and check on you and see if you're all right. And you're like, you threw the kitchen sink at it. You said, which was stuff that you know you took IV drips and was it mono what
monoclonal antibodies?
And what is monoclonal antibodies?
It's the shit they gave Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's something that actually works.
Sure.
But CNN is saying it.
Yeah, CNN is saying it. He's got, you know, I was worried about my broadcast voice. And there's Joe Rogan. He sounds more like Mickey Mouse than I do. Oh, my God. Maybe it's the key to his success. People tuning in thinking they're listening to Disney, and they're actually listening to Pink Shrek.
Like Alex Jones, you know, who was writing Pink Shrek's shtick, claiming to be taking ivermectin in its human dosage form. Of course, these guys are serial liars. This is, after all, a guy who encouraged young people not to get vaccinated, and now young people are dying. And I'm sure some of them are Joe Rogan listeners. I mean, we know of one guy. We don't know who he listened to. But he's a truck driver. Nashville Public Radio had the story this past weekend. Tennessee ICUs full of vaccine regret. And Nashville Public Radio interviewed a dude by the name of Joe Gammon, who was literally in his bed in the intensive care unit of some greater Nash Vegas area hospital. And Nashville Public Radio reported, Gammon is a truck driver from Las Casas who says he listens to a lot of conservative talk radio and the daily diatribes downplaying the pandemic and promoting personal freedom were enough to
dissuade him from vaccination. Tennessee hospitals are setting new records each day, caring for more COVID patients than ever, and the most critical are almost all unvaccinated, meaning ICUs are filled with regretful patients hoping for a second chance. Gannon, 45, is the father of six. And then, of course, the actuality in the package.
If I would have known 6 months ago that this could be possible, this would have been a no-brainer. But I honestly didn't think I was at any risk. That is the naive portion on my end. Oh, I don't think it's just his end that's naive. Well, I mean, one end, let's just say all the ends are naive there. They're killers. The killers. From people like the Fat Hamlet, you know, dithering Jim Justice, the governor of West Virginia, who just can't make up his mind. And, you know, today, crossing the river across the gorge, I saw a sure sign of the coming of autumn. Namely, one lane of the New River Gorge Bridge closed down. That means that they're beginning to, they're doing the stuff that they have to do to prepare for Bridge Day. And Bridge Day, under ordinary circumstances, is a wonderful time. It's not going to be so wonderful this time. It's going to be 100,000 people, butthole to belly button, larping and smollicking and grabulating all over each other, hooting and barking and grunting and hollering, "Hey, look at that and jump! Whew, I wonder if his parachute's going to open." And then walking off the bridge and going up to the concessions and breathing all over each other and turning around saying, "You know what? They got them real dipped corn dogs like they don't hardly never have nowhere no more than it's them frozen corn dogs like you get at the Walmart. Ain't no sense in buying one at the carnival for the kind of money you got to pay for them. But these is hand dipped. You want one? Hey, you want one?" Yeah, and just yelling. So that's coming. But from, you know, from dithering Jim to to Joe Rogaine, Pink Shrek, to Alex Jones, to every other right way, it is a big dollar. It's a big dollar. And over the weekend, there were there's at least three right wing blatherheads who have gone pining for the fjords, who are singing with the bleeding choir eternal, to get all Monty Python on us. Because it was such a good dollar, they couldn't pass it up. And they knew they would lose audience if they said, "Listen, you hard-ons, go get a vaccine so you can keep listening to the program, so I can keep lying to you," because that's all that ever happens on right-wing radio. It's just lies. Yeah. If I would have known 6 months ago that this could be possible, this would have been a no-brainer, said Mr. Gannon, the father of six. Huh. I wonder, did he go to his doctor? And did his doctor tell him to, I don't know, drink some bleach? Eat some aquarium cleaner? No, those were right-wing radio assholes. Doctors, for the most part, aren't doing that. Mm-mm. Jesus. But meanwhile, Joe Rogaine.
Pasta. I meant like USA Today, a few other places.
Yeah, and they're talking about ivermectin, right?
Yeah.
So what, because I don't know, I just saw so much news about you. I mean, I would talk to you and check on you and see if you're all right, and you're like, you threw the kitchen sink at it, you said, which was stuff that, you know, you took IV drips and what was it?
Monoclonal antibodies.
And then what is monoclonal antibodies?
It's the shit they gave Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it is.
What? So who said, or did you already want ivermectin? Like,
well, I have this guy on, Dr. Pierre Corey, and he is, what is the organization? He's from Frontline COVID Critical Care Workers.
America's Frontline Doctors.
Well-established doctor.
Yeah, well-established. He's a member of the same group that the doctor from Houston is, who says that demons kidnap men's penises and hide them under the sea. Yeah, that America's Frontline. Yeah, that's why I can't remember the organization, because if he said America's Frontline, no, people might look it up and go, oh, wait, this is some crazy shit. So, you know, what do I got to do, CNN? Sue CNN. You go right ahead, Pink Shrek. Sue CNN. The discovery process alone will be worth the price of admission that you pay to file your suit. All $100 million a year worth of you. Right. And, of course, the only way you can be a Republican and actually talk sense about the pandemic is if you're a Republican who is no longer in office. Yeah. So that would be Representative Joe Walsh, former Representative Joe Walsh of Illinois, also very much an anti-Trump Republican. And I guess what maybe pissed Pink Shrek off was the interview that he did with CNN, their little morning program or whatever it is.
Positive for COVID-19 and said that he has embarked on a treatment regimen of an anti-parasitic medication that is unproven to treat COVID-19 so far, in addition to several other options that he pursued. So here for more on all of this is former Republican Congressman and presidential candidate Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh, we are, of course...
Joe Walsh, has life been good to you so far? Sorry, I can't resist.
Everything that he's taken essentially under the sun since this, including monoclonal antibodies, prednisone, that's what former President Trump got when he tested positive for coronavirus. But now he is also taking a vitamin drip as well as ivermectin, which, of course, is typically used sometimes in humans, but also in livestock. We used to use it on my horses back in Alabama. So what have you picked up from Joe Rogan's announcement and what he has been saying on a group that he has a lot of sway over?
Yeah, hey, Caitlin, look, I wish Joe Rogan the best, and he can take whatever drug he wants to take. But, you know, the bigger story here is for months and months, Joe Rogan has been lying to his audience about the vaccines. He's refused to get vaccinated, and he's been telling his audience not to get vaccinated. And I think of Tucker Carlson has done the same thing for months and months, bad-mouthing the vaccines, not even having the balls or the courage to tell his audience whether he's been vaccinated. And then, Caitlin, you've got those four conservative radio talk show hosts, all anti-vaxxers, who died recently of COVID.
Yep.
I pray for them, but Caitlin, I don't feel bad for them. I feel bad for Rogan's audience. I feel bad for all of their listeners who have listened to this bull crap, these lies about the vaccines. Think of how many of Joe Rogan's listeners over the last few months have gotten sick and died because of the disinformation he's been spreading. I'm a former talk radio host. This is personal to me. I told
really?
The audience the truth about the vaccines and COVID. Most of these guys don't.
And that's the issue. The issue is what happens to the people who listen to this and just believe everything they hear. Are there people?
Well, I mean, the answer is they get sick and they die. Somewhere along the way, there's got to be a broadcast executive out there who looks up and says, you know, I don't think this is really going to be a long-term working strategy for us. Because, well, if we kill our audience, who's going to buy the crap that we hustle for 15 minutes out of every 60 or 20 minutes out of every... Yeah, it's more like 23 or 24 minutes out of every 60. It's not like you tune in and the guy just talks for an hour or something. I mean this is commercial fucking radio, right? Yeah. That light apparently hasn't gone on. But as our dear friend Carol Baker pointed out just a little bit ago, this is going to get hilarious really fast. Headline from The Hill, which is a real publication. Oh, Flavio! Because I always think of Flavio with any story that has Brazil in it. But also because Flavio has a well-defined sense of the ludicrous, the absurd, and the macabre. You just don't get this headline every day. No, you don't. Brazilian viper venom shows promise as drug to combat COVID-19. I'm staying home. goddamn Christians are going to be running around with Brazil. Here, let it bite you in the name of Jesus. Here, catch the snake. Oh, Jesus. Brazil.
God, please. I mean, okay, so people who have big problems with, like, arthritis and like, joint pain in the hands, you know, we know that bee venom can actually help with that, and you just, you know, you get stung, and, right. But, well, I'm kudos to the scientist who came up and said, hey, I wonder if this deadly Brazilian viper venom might be good. They're kind of scraping the bottom of the pickle barrel, aren't they now? Yeah. The horse dewormer. I mean, they did try. They had a brief trial of ivermectin, and it fell apart quickly because it was a complete disaster. But I guess it got out there enough to get the, because the white wingers will do anything except take the vaccine. Wait, snake bite? Well, shit, that's better than taking the vaccine and getting them Bill Gates liquid barcodes in me so he can track me when I'm doing whatever it is I do when I stay in the bathroom for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Brazilian scientists have discovered that a native viper's venom can be used as a drug to help combat 19, according to a report in Reuters. In the scientific journal Molecules, and by the way, someday we have to have a conversation about all the scientific journals, because some they are not all of equal repute. I don't know about Molecules, but scientists shared results from a study on monkey cells showing that a molecule from a Brazilian Jaracuchu, I'm in Portuguese, so they probably pronounce the J, Jaracuchu pit viper can inhibit the virus's ability to multiply by 75%. Well, you know what? I bet if you get bit by a Jaracuchu pit viper, it will probably inhibit the ability of the recipient to reproduce by 100%, you know, being deadly and all. A molecule in the venom can connect to the enzyme of the virus, PL-Pro, which is vital to the reproduction of the virus, according to Reuters. Actually, it's not according to Reuters. These are some bad writers at the Hill. University of Sao Paulo professor Rafael Guido told the news agency, "We were able to show this component of snake venom was able to inhibit a very important protein from the virus." How do you... How does that... Hey, I mean, is there beer involved? Ayahuasca? How do you... hey, what if we use deadly snake venom to fight the virus? Suddenly, Brazilian scientists sound like they come from Boaz, Alabama, but that's just how I am. But I love the way this is reported. And the discovery also sparked some concerns. Herpetologist Giuseppe Porto said that he worries about people traveling around the country trying to be cured by the viper's venom. In Brazil? Y'all wonder if it works the same with rattlesnakes. Marvelline, get out of our going to church box. Oh, God. But Professor Guido said, we're wary about people going out to hunt the Jaracuchu around Brazil, thinking they're going to save the world. That's not it. It's not the venom itself that will cure the coronavirus. And by the way, it's also one of the largest snakes in Brazil, the Jaracuchu pit viper. Mm-hmm. It can grow up to 6 feet and 2 inches long. Of course, if you ask a male Jaracuchu pit viper, he'll say, "God damn it, it's 6 feet 3 inches. Never mind. Yeah, I agree with Sister Carol. Shit's going to get real fun, real hilarious, real fast up here. Yeah. And then, of course, the horn community is already on top of this. Snake venom, says Lee in New York.
New superheroes, Snake Man, move over, Spider Man. Yeah, my I don't know, my snake sense is rattling. Oh, true. Brendan says, hey, remember oleandrin extract? Yes, I do. Oleanders growing outside the door. Hi, Dave, number 11. Oh, my God, Ralph says, viper venom? You damn well right. Oh, the things I hear, has Scott in San Diego, arising early from his autumnal hibernation. The things I hear, especially when I tune in mid-show and you're mid-sentence. Today it was penises under the sea. Cue the hot coffee through the nose. Oh, that's why I live for Titanic Tuesday. I do. Oh, God. Poisons, says Lee in New York. People like them. Example, Botox. Well, that's not hardly. I mean, it's not like. Don't say it out loud or the maggots will. Hey, when you swallow Botox, it kills the coronavirus, Trump voters, Republicans. Yeah, you got. Snake venom. But there's another punchline to all of this. Yes, absolutely. And I saw this earlier today, and it looks like it checks out. It comes from something called the Scholars Research Library. Archives of Applied Science Research, 2011, with a bunch of numbers indicating a citation. Mm-hmm. It has an ISSN number and a Coden USA of AASRC9. I mean, this looks terribly official. There are real people cited as the scientists behind the research. And it's a piece of research on ivermectin. A broad-spectrum anti-helminthic, that's what ivermectin is, an anti-helminthic. I think that means kills nasty little internal worms. Mm-hmm. And there have been lots of studies on how ivermectin works and what it does to the systems of various and sundry animals, but as the abstract authors write, data on humans are very scanty, hence this present study. The study involved 385 patients who were diagnosed of onchocerciasis. Well, the bottom line is, when you take ivermectin, it has a tendency to make a guy's sperm all die and disappear. It doesn't just kill worms, it kills sperms. And again, how's that a loss? Then again, that, you know, when you're talking about Alex Jones and Pink Shrek, I don't know. I think the steroids have probably already had a shall we say, a desiccating effect.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear Joe Rogan's voice? Dude. But yeah, ivermectin will make you impotent. You know, for a lot of guys, that's a big deal. But then, you know, Joe Rogan, Pink Shrek, I guess, and yeah, hey, no biggie, I'll just take another pill. Somebody, hook me up with Rush Limbaugh's doctor that gave him that somebody else's name script for the little blue pill. Mm-hmm. Talk about toxic masculinity. Yeah. Okay, Scott. Jerakushu J. Pit Viper. Yes, indeed. Knew him well. He was a famous producer back in the old Mack Sennett days. He said, Fields is no longer an English living room drama. It's now a circus picture. You play football and you score touchdown after touchdown. Then you wander away through the waving fields of alfalfa. And that was Jerakushu J. Pit Viper. Okay, Scott. You seem to have awakened in fine form. And, of course, our buddy News Ninja Gene says, as if the snake handlers needed more encouragement. No, all I got here is a copperhead. You mean you ain't got no Jerakushu pit vipers? Well, they're hard to come by. They come from Brazil, and you got to smuggle them in. Ow! Shit. Goddamn what? You need a water moccasin? And they shall take up the serpent, and it shall bite them, and they shall not die of the roner. It's right there in Third Flip Floppians, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
It's been like this all day. The Titanic intellect just—it's like it's self-replicating or something. Meanwhile, hey, you remember Josh Duggar? 33 years old. Back in April, he was part of the Quiverful Duggar family. Back in April, he was charged with possessing and receiving child pornography after a few years previous being pretty much outed as the child sexual abuser of his sister. Mm-hmm. Well, there was another member of the Quiver, and his name's Jed. Jed Duggar. God, this family's just awful. And, you know, they had that stupid reality show, and the whole family is kind of based in Arkenstan, and except for times like when Josh Duggar got a job as a lobbyist for a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican lobbying outfit in D.C., and promptly got busted for trolling for sexy time partners on a sexy time partner trolling app.
Yeah.
But Jed got hitched up to a girl named Katie, and they're so dang happy. Yes, they are. And they're still celebrities on Instagram and YouTube and whatnot. And so they took a picture of them a kissing, and it says, and then there were three, baby Duggar, spring 22. Mm-hmm. Because Jed has begun the family process of treating his wife's reproductive system like a clown car, just like his mama's was. And then Jed, who's all of 22, after they announced on Instagram the coming of baby Duggar, on the post he also said, she tested positive, but not for COVID, and a winky face, a winky emoji. And so, fortunately, they're catching some hell, as one might hope, being referred to as insensitive. An individual who runs an account called Without a Crystal Ball named Katie Joy, she said, funny how this isn't the photo that Jed and Katie posted on Instagram. They did post this in the caption. Even though a lot of people have made similar announcements like this, I find it so insensitive. Arkansas, is facing some of the worst with COVID right now due to low vaccination rates. 656,000 Americans have died from COVID since the virus hit 18 months ago, Katie and Jed shared this photo in their YouTube video, but not on Instagram, which I'm confident was intentional. And the sign says, she tested positive, but not for COVID. And Katie's pointing at the sign with that, mouth wide open, kind of surprised look on vacant, sort of. Yeah. Because it's all just a big joke to them. One person responded and said, having two family members pass from COVID, I find this very tasteless and insensitive. I hate this. It's so tacky and distasteful. Yeah, people are dying. But, you know, what does it care? What does it matter to a Duggar? They got theirs, and their job is to keep getting theirs and continue. Yeah, they're like the, I don't know, they're like the hillbilly Kardashians, only without the vast product lines. Of course, if I was Jed Duggar, I'd be worried about the fact that, you know, got a baby coming into the world, and my brother's Josh Duggar, and he diddles children. That's the real question, Katie and Jed. What are you going to do to protect your baby against your kitty diddling brother? Because, by the way, he got right out of, he never really spent any time in jail once he was charged with possessing and receiving child pornography. No, he was later released into the custody of some third party folks by the name of LeCount and Maria Reber. And I'm sure that they're the same sort of scuzzy, evangelical, so-called Christians that helped him get over his little incest problem earlier, don't you know? Yeah, right. And so we are at the top of the hour. That's the filler obster for this Titanic Tuesday. And we do have $545 to raise. And it would be nice to knock out maybe yesterday. That would be $245. If we could do that, that would be simply wonderful. Yeah. Anybody wanting to help out? Well, the button is over at headon.live right there on the main page. And it would be mightily welcome. Been a while since we chatted with our dear friend Scott, who, being awake, has chimed in. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm a Duggar, you're a Duggar, he's a Duggar, she's a Duggar. Would you like to be a Duggar too?
No.
Me neither. Not on my worst day. Actually, I've been up a while. I've been up since yesterday. I had to go pick up some prescriptions and run a couple of go pay the rent and send in my ballot. I voted no on the recall of Governor Newsom, and they said that you can vote for any of the 46 numbskulls who are running, even if you vote no, just in case. So I voted for the stripper. I forget what her name was. I think her occupation, it says, like all of the candidates on the ballot, all 46 of them, it gives their name, and then underneath it gives their job title, and it doesn't say stripper under her name. It says something like party entertainment specialist.
You mean not the old standby exotic dancer?
I wish I'd have looked more closely, because I like to know who I'm voting for, you know? Pasties in every pot and a G-string in your garage.
Hey, watch your book of Genesis use of the word no there. Now, quit that. This is not a family-oriented program, but we like to pretend sometimes that it is.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. Well, I figured I would try again, since last time we had such great audio emanating from my side of the conversation. Glad to see you got that fixed.
Well, I came home, hooked up, no problem. It must be something in the setting of the laptop that I was using.
Yeah, probably so.
Didn't tech enough, I guess.
Yeah, I don't even recall where I was going, if I even had a point. I so often don't. But anyway, hold on, let me take a sip of this coffee. Maybe this will make more sense. Stand by. Lovely. Lovely. Let's see. Well, I don't know. There's not much going on here. It's still rather warm. Normally, you know, when we turn the page from August, we'll get a little respite from the heat. But
ain't no respite here. Of course, like I said at the beginning of the program, dead air conditioners can have something to do with that. We've dropped all the way to 83 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion.
You got me beat then. It's probably not that hot here. I don't even know what the temperature is. I know what I was going to talk about today. When I was a kid, I didn't like to see September come along because it was back to school and Sister So-and-so, you know, I wasn't good at school and I wasn't good at home. On the bus riding to and from, I did pretty good, okay? But, you know, that was just a wretched time to be a young person. But, you know, now as a grown-up, 20 years on, September means something else entirely. It makes me long for the innocent trials and tribulations of elementary school with nuns running around acting ugly. But, you know, so I think about my friend and former coworker that I worked with at Army Times in D.C. back in the 70s, who was on the plane that hit the Pentagon. So, you know, and now being the 20th anniversary of the thing, we're hearing more about it than we usually do. So that doesn't help. And then to top things off, I knew September was coming up to be bummed out about. Old Willard Scott ups and dies.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the last day or so. That was
pissed me off.
I really felt like if anybody deserved to make it to 100, it was Willard Scott, having celebrated so many centenarians.
Yeah, and I was thinking about him the other day, wondering, you know, how he was getting along and stuff, because 87 is, I mean, 65, 70, 75, whatever, that's still relatively young. But 87, you know, is up there. And, you know, I don't know how his health has been. We've kind of been out of touch. But, I mean, many was the time back in junior high and thereon, I would trudge on over to WRC Radio in Washington, down in the basement, sitting there with Willard and Ed Walker, the Joy Boys. And those guys got me hooked on radio. And when the bug bit me, I mean, it just bit me. It took double bites. So it's sad to see, you know, someone who had that kind of impact on one's life, you know, go on to his reward. And I'm just very sorry. And they say these things happen in threes. So I'm saying, for the record, you and everybody that you know and all of our friends out in Radio Land, I hope all of them are not that third party, that all of them remain upright and above ground into the foreseeable future. So that's my little speech on longevity, Bob. What do you think?
Well, I think, by the way, well, we've got some information for you. The stripper, not Billable Rick, says, please tell Scotty that the name of this California gubernatorial hopeful is Angeline, and she's not a stripper, but a billboard queen, according to her bio. Wiki states that the main trademark of her celebrity persona is a pink Corvette, and her billboards have been featured in a number of movies.
Oh. And that qualifies her to be governor of California.
Yeah, right. Jeremy in Vermont, on the other hand, said the name you're looking for which I wouldn't have ever known if not for Google, is Mary Carey. I thought, yeah, she was the last Rico. And while it is true that, Caitlyn Jenner's campaign is pretty much pining for the fjords itself,
You think?
Yeah, I do. That didn't stop her from being interviewed on CNN. And God, she's an idiot. Okay, I mean, she's a Republican, so, but as we know from years of observing the likes of Louis Asparagus Gohmert and now Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball, all idiots are not created equal. And as Republican idiots go, Caitlin, well, she's top flight because on the one hand she said to, asked about the Texas law because, you know, the Texas, you know, the Gyna Posse law. She said,
or as I call them, the Yeehaw Stasi.
Yeah, the Yeehaw Stasi of Saudi Arabia, right.
Isn't there something vaguely East German about this attitude, this bounty?
Oh, where everybody rats on everybody else? Yeah, I brought that up. And that's straight out of East Germany.
Go ahead.
But she said, well, I'm definitely pro-choice, but I'm also in favor of a state's right to make the laws that it wants. So I support Texas Republicans. You blithering idiot! And then she went on to say, but, you know, I don't think a woman's right to choose is under any kind of threat in California. It's under threat everywhere. You know, as I once said about Wisconsin, where's the fun in making Alabama weirder? You go after the states with progressive values. You isolate them, and you hammer them. And, you know, that's part of what's going on with this goddamn recall. And we spent the better part of the program last night talking about the recall.
You know what I'd like to see?
What's that?
Is get all 46 of them on the biggest auditorium stage you can find. And have everybody be masked and properly distanced. Get them all up there on hospital beds, cranked in the sitting up position, and give each of them a sodium pentothal drip, and then have the debate.
Yeah, and then, yeah, right. Make them tell the truth.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, it would be. I've long said that. Some of the most enjoyable entertainment we could possibly have would be to give a Republican sodium pentothal and then just ask them what they thought about their constituents.
Yeah. Or their wife. Or their husband or whoever. I mean, because you know if people are lying just as regularly as breathing, you know they don't limit their non-compliance with reality-based reality with political stuff.
Yeah.
They're mind-boggling in their capacity for, as Winston Churchill would put it, terminological inexactitudes, you know? I mean, it's a fucking art form with these people. And by now, haven't we had enough? I mean, not so long ago, as serious as it was, there was a certain bit of fun to it. But now not being honest is getting people killed. What is it, 40 million certified cases of COVID? What is it, in excess of 600,000 fucking deaths? This is the real deal. This is not fun and games.
Oh, no. No. And we're still... It was like something Megan sent in just a minute ago, Scott. She said, so far we've had hydroxychloroquine, you know, aquarium cleaner, UV light, hand sanitizer, bleach, horse paste sheep snuff, ivermectin. Now it's snake venom. What's next? Arsenic.
It tastes like almonds. You can bake it into your cookies.
And suddenly it's, you know, a zany comedy featuring Cary Grant, for God's sakes. Arsenic and Old Lace, wasn't that Cary Grant?
Yeah.
The snake venom really did sort of just make my evening, though.
Well, now, to get the venom, don't you have to milk the snake? And wouldn't you need a tiny...
There's a very tiny three-legged stool involved. I was about to say the same thing.
And nimble fingers. Get me someone with very nimble fingers.
And hopefully, you know, a kind of a, at least a mildly cooperative pit viper.
Yeah, yeah. It has gotten to the point, Robin, where I try to tune out, really. I just try to tune out. I used to think that it was my civic duty to pay attention. Well, it's my personal duty not to go completely apeshit mad. And if one has a steady diet of just the news, the fucking news, you got storms and hurricanes and floods and there's nowhere, what's that song? Nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. And I'm averting my eyes as often as I can. And I don't like to do that. I like to be informed. I like to know what the hell is going on.
Well, you know, for people of a certain generation or two, it's kind of depressing, Scott, when you realize that we live in a nation of idiots.
Yeah, I would say it's a mite depressing.
We didn't.
Anyway.
We weren't always a nation of idiots. But we are now. You know, it wasn't that long ago that...
There was a time when you...
Steve from New York watched for the first time Idiocracy, and it has had a profound effect on his life. I mean, maybe we could market, I don't know, we could market the snake venom as, you know... Corondo. Scott, what? Honest to God, Jim Baker will be hustling snake venom as a COVID cure any day now.
Yeah, and he'll sell it in the form of pudding pops, and you'll have to insert them the other way, as it were.
At which point, we're back at Idiocracy again with, okay, this one goes in your nose, this one goes in your mouth, this one goes in your butt. No, no, this one goes in your nose, that one goes in, and that one goes in your butt.
Well, here's the other thing. Is Trump doing radio silence, or are the channels that I watch simply not giving him even the tiniest shaft of light?
He shows up on Fox, Onan, maybe Newsmuck, and he's down to just issuing these sad little statements to the press via an email account. I mean, I get five or six of them a day. It's pathetic. It's basically what he would be tweeting otherwise, but can't.
Why is it that nobody talks about the horrible job being done by the Biden administration on COVID-19, often referred to as the China virus? Are they using the same cover-up methods that they're using on the greatest embarrassment in the history of our country, the incompetent withdrawal from Afghanistan, leaving dead warriors, hostages, and $85 billion worth of the highest-grade military equipment behind? No military event in our country has ever been so poorly handled. We could have left with dignity, honor, success. Nobody killed in our equipment, but we didn't.
Well, he couldn't have. Jesus Christ. The biggest fuck-up in the history of the executive branch in the United States. No.
Hold on. I think he's done, to tell you the truth. I was listening to something. I think it was on, it was either CNN or MSNBC when I was getting ready to go out today. And they were talking about old Greg Abbott is positioning himself to make a run. Well, he's got to win his reelection, whenever that is, but make a run in 24 for, you know, the top job. And, you know, he's checking all the right boxes. He's you know, anti-choice, God knows. He's cutting down on possibilities of voting easily for people who are, you know, the complexion of a good cup of coffee. And what else is he doing? Well, just any fucking thing he can to be an asshole, okay? And how'd you like that to be your next president of these United States? See, that's when I take the fucking gas pipe. I don't want another Republican president as far off into the future as any of us can see. The latest child born anywhere in the United States, I don't want another Republican president in the lifetime of that child. And you got to figure, kids being born today, COVID notwithstanding, are going to have, you know, if Willard Scott were still around at that point, he'd be wishing them 120th birthday, 138th birthday. You can get their foots on the jar of Smuckers.
Well, I mean, that's how it's. I mean, it was supposed to. It's like what, you know, our buddy Reverbo talks about. You know, feeling cheated. You know, the helium-filled pants, the jet packs. They didn't show up that we were promised. But they're not here.
No. No, and I don't know who to write to. See, that's the problem. And even if I did know who to write to, I know I wouldn't get an adequate response. You know, I get a form letter and a fucking coupon for $1.50 off my next purchase. And that's about the extent of, you know, ensuring customer satisfaction these days. No fucking justice in the world. I need another sip of coffee. Hang on.
That's okay. I completely understand. But, I mean, you know, I mean, he's going to run. Or if he doesn't, it will be someone handpicked and anointed by him. That's what the current competition is, to show him who loves him most. And oddly enough, there are some, Nimrata Haley and Mike Pencilneck Geek both bowed out of some sort of a bizarre conference the other day that would have tarred them as, well, as loopy and loony. But, you know, they both think that they have Republican gravitas. So you got Florida Governor Ronna Death Sentence, and you got Kristi Noem up there. But I got you a Mount Rushmore. But I put you on Mount Rushmore. Can't I have your endorsement? I mean, and that's the other thing he's down to, is doing these cheesy little endorsements.
Endorsement of Christina Camaro. I don't know how do you spell it. Oh, that's with a K. KK. Is her middle name start with a K? No, it does. What? Highly respected Christina Caramo has my complete and total endorsement. Complete and total and endorsement are capitalized, of course. To run for Secretary of State of the great state of Michigan.
If you have someone's complete endorsement, doesn't that mean you've also got their total endorsement?
No, there's more endorsement if it's complete and it's total. Don't you know anything?
I know this. You're certifiable, you son of a bitch. I don't mean to put too fine a point on it, but see, I'm of the opinion that there are serious Republicans who want, like the devil, to run to be their party's standard bearer in 2024. I mean, should we make it to that point? And that's not a sure bet at this point. But let's say we do. And let's say there's a handful of serious Republicans. See, I think those people, they'll say one thing publicly and act a certain way and give deference and all that happy horse shit. But I really think if you get them on that sodium pentothal and ask them the central question, that they think that he is done, that the last thing they want is for him to be the standard bearer, because he'll get, any of them will get the GOP votes, but if you're off on the deep end, you're not going to get the independent votes, And that's where the balance is. That's where...
Yeah, Republican presidential candidates cannot win without Republican and Democratic votes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the object of the exercise is to get people to vote for you. But if you're talking out of your ass half the time and saying batshit crazy things, and here's the deal about the fucking Republicans, especially these governors who are not being very responsible in dealing with COVID. They have lost. I remember when that party claimed to be pro-life and a big supporter of personal responsibility. where did that go? Where did that go?
That was just a party joke all the time anyway.
I know. But the thing is, the bottom line here is dead people don't vote.
Anymore.
Anymore, yeah. But if you're killing off your own potential voters, that doesn't seem to be like a workable game plan. I don't know. Talk me off the ledge, because I'm sleep deprived. I'm coffee deprived.
I understand. Well, going back to this stupid endorsement, I mean,
okay, go ahead.
There ought to be something illegal about this.
Christina will fight for you like no other, and of equal importance, she will fight for justice.
So those things are apparently separate.
Good luck, Christina, and while you're at it, check out the fake election results.
Capital F fake, capital E election.
That took place in the city of Detroit.
And I don't know why you didn't just put...
Black people!
And an exclamation point and have done with it, but... You know, the son of a Klansman somehow managed not to do that. That just seems grifty. It sounds like she bought an endorsement. Because he's been, you know, he sold his name. He's never built anything, my God. But you talked about, you know, serious Republicans wanting a serious Republican president. Well, again, the only way you can speak truth in the Republican Party, for the most part, is to not be an office-holding Republican. So Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania is on the way out, and I sure do hope John Fetterman gets that seat. I think it would be wonderful. He's a genuine badass. But Pat Toomey said not too long back that he hopes Trump is not the standard bearer. And, of course, Nitwit Nero can't countenance that, nor can he spell or pronounce the word.
The only reason Senator Gloomy Pat Toomey is not running for Senate in Pennsylvania is that I would not give him an endorsement. I feel he has been a terrible representative for both Pennsylvania and the United States as a whole. His views on tariffs and so-called free trade, where other nations take total advantage of the United States, are archaic.
See, words like archaic prove that he didn't write this.
He ran with me in 2016 and wasn't expected to win, but because of my victory, he did. He still doesn't realize what happened and why. Not the sharpest tool in the shed. Not the sharpest fork in the chandelier. Fortunately for Pennsylvania, we have a great Senate candidate, Sean Parnell, who I've just given my complete and total endorsement.
See, that's why I brought it, because the complete and total endorsement, that's the best Trump endorsement, the complete and total.
He will do all of the things that Toomey is incapable of doing. He will do this thing, that thing, and the other thing, just like Gilligan did when he dreamed he was a banana republic dictator. Sean Parnell will represent the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania the way it should be represented, and it's about time.
And see, further proof that he didn't write that, because he said Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Commonwealth?
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean I can have some?
Now, what does Trump have to say about Pat Toomey's son, who's also running on a local race in 22?
Well, he's probably gloomy, too.
His name is Socket. Look it up.
Socket, too. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Since I was waiting for it. I knew that there was no Junior Toomey.
See, this is what happens when I get like this, Robin. It's horrible.
The horror.
I know.
What is that thing? I can't. Primal Scream, is that the therapeutic thing that they used to do back in the 70s?
Yeah, that's one of the things.
How does that, what are the mechanics of that? How do I sign up?
There's a lot of screaming involved. That's all I know.
I feel like I'm not getting it out, as it were. I mean, I'm making halfway decent points. I'm reflecting.
Well, there was a said to be profoundly intoxicated maggot on a plane recently who didn't scream so much as he growled. He growled at airline staff. Growled.
This wasn't a candidate. This was just an ordinary citizen.
No, this is just an ordinary Trump voter.
Well, you see, you got to define your terms here, Robin, because if you had told me a GOP candidate for some, you know, office somewhere growled on the plane and had to be duct taped to the fucking seat, that'd be the most ordinary thing in the world. I mean, that's standard operating procedure.
Yeah, here we go. Let me see if this has some audio attached to it. I blew past it not thinking we would ever need this today, but there we are. An airline passenger was arrested Monday following a drunken racist meltdown aboard an American Airlines flight, who, by the way, also gave money to Texas Republicans. On TikTok, it's labeled, Kevin has a meltdown on flight. Shall we check it out, Scott?
I do.
That horse paste will do some shit to you.
God damn.
And the visual is even better because he's got his mask and he's like putting it over his face and
pulling a regular Linda Blair.
Oh. We're not on the ground, sir. Officer Friendly shows up and taps him on the shoulder because he's a white dude, so we're not just going to tase him and drag him off. But did you hear the exclamation, Scott? Joe Biden!
There are people walking around loose, and some of them are in planes. Okay.
And well,
what kind of scanner can we make people go through to detect that threat?
Oh, I don't know. I think if you'd have just made him blow into a portable breathalyzer before he got on the plane, we could have averted this one.
I mean, it's step in the right direction.
Dude is hammered.
Hammered.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago that I took Ferg down to audition for American Idol. And he did a fantastic job, but he got beaten out in the final round by some dude who sang the then popular country tune, I'm a get drunk on a plane.
Oh, God. There he is.
That really was a song. I'm not kidding. And Ferg was inconsolable all the way home. Dad, I got always say I'm getting drunk on a plane. I can't believe I got beat by a guy singing I'm getting drunk on a plane. Because he'd worked up like two or three just beautiful songs. You know, really, really wonderful work, played and sang and everything, and he, and got beat out by a guy singing I'm Getting Drunk on a Plane. And lo and behold, on the 7th day of September, 2021, and here we are. And we're not over yet. No, no, there's more. Oh, yeah. Oh, but wait, there's more.
Just great. I think of America as not a disgrace.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
This as they're leading him away. No cuffs, no zip ties. White privilege for days.
Yeah. A little Tasmanian devil going on. Hang on a second.
Why for you try bury me in the cold, cold ground? That's because you said Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, I was stirring. Shaken, not stirred. No, I stir my coffee. Which?
Why does this happen during your calls?
Which? What did I say? What did I do?
I don't know. Tasmanian devil.
Which cartoon was it that had the dog? And he goes...
Oh, that wasn't that Snidely Whiplash's dog, or... Penelope Sweet Pits, or whatever.
This was the one... maybe I'm mixing up my cartoon dogs, but wasn't there a cartoon dog that if you gave him a dog biscuit, he would get all stiff and go flat out on his back and rise up as if being levitated?
Biden! Joe Biden!
Don't laugh, Robin. I get that way if I'm in the 12 items or less lane and there's two idiots in front of me that can't count. You can hear me. I start digging my nails into the handle of the shopping cart and and give me a dog biscuit and pat me on the head and I'm fine 10 minutes later. But
like a monkey working on the rack.
No, no, don't go there.
That still gets me going. All I have to do is think of it. It's worse than an earworm song.
And you know what's cute? It's a little monkey, after a few moments of puzzlement, takes the tip of the pencil and licks it.
Oh, God. Hit me, Jesus. Hit me, Lord. What the fuck was that, Brother Deacon? What the fuck was that? I thought they stopped serving alcohol on the plane after the onset of the plague.
Oh, God. Oxygen.
No, but the cowbell goes to the cowbell goes to Matt in San Francisco. I'm so glad we're not doing video because I'm most looks like early onset rabies here. Frothing at the mouth. Jesus Christ. No, the cowbell goes to Matt in San Francisco. Subject line: plain guy. They need to stop selling bath salts on Frontier Airlines. Oh my God!
He couldn't wait to get back and give the bath salts to his wife, to his honey. He's sitting there snorting them up in the
Snuffles on Quick Draw McGraw. There's your answer. Thank you, Brian. Scott, I'm gonna take this one, and we'll talk soon. Let's go from Scott to Tracy. Are you there, Tracy?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, go, hey.
Sorry, just coming apart here, listening to a white guy growl on an airplane, drunk out of his mind.
What's he, what?
Yeah.
What did I miss? You said growling?
Yeah, growling. Yeah, growling, yeah. White guy, Trump voter. Wasted. Oh, here. I'll share it with you, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Does he hang out with Joe Exotic? I mean...
Okay, cowbell for the Joe Exotic reference.
I'm tired. I mean, I hate September. I mean, it's just, I forget why I get so sad, and then I remember, you know, it's 20 years, 9/11, and then a week after 9/11, my father died, and then, I found out that the incredible actor, Michael K. Williams, died. That was just
heartbreaking.
I did not realize that we were both born in 66. And I'm like, that just, you know, it messes with your sense of mortality when somebody your age dies, regardless of how they died. It's just, well, damn, you know, it's like when Gerald Levert died and, you know, back in, I think he died in the early aughts, but it was just, you know, when Black people die, when they're your age, especially since our life expectancy rate sucks as is. So, because Jan told me that he passed away, and I didn't click because I was in my own little fugue state all weekend actually. And then she had on the news yesterday, and when I saw who it was, I was like, no, I'm like, and Trump is still alive. And
Dick Cheney.
And Dick Cheney.
And Henry Kissinger.
That's his name. That's who I was about to say. Stay out of my head, Robin. Fucking Henry motherfucking war crimes Kissinger. That motherfucker is still alive, you know, and, you know, Michael K. Williams, if anybody saw him in The Wire, I mean, that whole show, I mean, is depressing as fuck, but, I get tired of shows that only show, you know, Black people in blighted and, you know, horrible situations about, you know, crime-ridden, you know, ridden streets and stuff like that. But Michael K. Williams in as Omar and in The Wire or Chucky. Okay, for those of you, you know, quick, for those who don't know, Google Michael K. Williams to see that he was a beautiful dark-skinned brother. But in Boardwalk Empire, his name was Chalky White. You gotta love the irony.
In a brother
who was named, you know, darker than me.
At least they didn't name him Snowball.
White. Dude. Let's not even go into that part. But yeah, I mean, it was just the man.
And is up for another. And is up for another Emmy now.
Emmy now for his. The fact that HBO, shame on them, did not renew Lovecraft Country, and especially in light of the fact that they renewed that fucking show about Nexium. Who, I mean, do we really need to see two seasons of that shit?
Wait, what? Really? What?
That they had it, you know, this last summer, they had two shows. They had, and they, you know, because Lovecraft Country came on first, or the county, I forget, but Lovecraft Country came on, and then after that, after Lovecraft aired, they aired the thing about Nexium, you know, the cult with the people branding the white women, and I found
Yeah.
So there's another, they renewed it for another season. Why?
Do we, dear God.
I mean, look, I am not discounting, you know, people getting caught up in a cult and stuff like that. No, because that shit is real, it's traumatic, and everything like that. But do we really need to drag this shit out even further? I mean, we know what happened. And the way they drug the season out in the first place, it was just like, it was building upon, you know, each week was, you know, just a little bit more of a snippet of what happened and what these, you know, people were going through.
But weren't these like beautiful, wealthy white people?
That part.
And doesn't Hollywood just love to navel gaze about beautiful, wealthy white people gone bad?
Mm-hmm. And the redemption and, you know, the trauma that they went through. And it's like, again, I'm not going to clown people because we know what, you know, especially for people who are seeking something, better than what they think they have or what have you.
Yeah.
People get sucked in. But again, it was a level of people that, you know, was an echelon of people that we, I mean, the Seagram heiresses, they got sucked in, you know.
No, yeah.
And that was how a lot of, you know.
and Hollywood loves to focus on, I guess, rich people getting something resembling their comeuppance. Is that it?
Right. Yeah, I guess so. It's like, what is it? What is the German word? Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude, yep.
Schadenfreude. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that word. I just can never remember how to pronounce it. But we revel in people, you know, who are up on high, coming down, you know, getting brought down, you know, to, I mean, these women were getting branded and being trafficked. Sex trafficking. It's just
branded.
But again, branded. Mm-hmm. Branded.
There's some twisted fantasies out there.
There's some twisted shit out there. It is just like any. But anyhow, I just finished class for today. And I just, like I said, I haven't been myself for the past few days. I've just been kind of...
In your own head?
In my own head, which is a dangerous place to be. It's very dangerous. And then I get sucked in, and I get waylaid, and I just don't care. And that's just me. But it's just, I'm glad school started back. But I'm trying to get that motivation of, you know, this is your last year of college, Tracy. You're almost the finish line. You're almost there. And then I do something, the self-sabotaging, or, you know, I just kind of space out, and
After graduation, are you going to take like a gap year and backpack around Europe?
Of course, you know. Well, see, I already took a 4-decade gap, y'all.
Oh, so true.
So, you know, it's just, I'm going to hang out with the girls and we're going to backpack around Europe and, you know, and just do those things that we do because, you know, money. I can't even imagine, you know, when we were talking about something about generational wealth in one of my classes and talking about how, you know, black people, you know, we were left out of the industrial age and the, you know, and the, one of the different ages in, you know, in United States history that people made a lot of money besides the industrial age, was it?
Well, the 1890s, the Gilded Age.
The Gilded Age, the industrial age, and, you know, like, you know, the gold rush and, you know, the things that we were not allowed to participate in because, you know, black people and white people saying that we couldn't because, you know, we're black. I mean, not that there weren't some black people that were able to be a part of that, but very few. And so now we're fighting this new age of, you know, technology, you know, like, you know, like TikTok and, you know, and content creators and how the algorithms, you know, we as black people, I mean, I'm not, you know, me in social media, I am, that is just not my jam. I'll post every so often, but there is money to be made, especially like on YouTube and TikTok and people getting all these followers. But we're, you know, we're constantly fighting, you know, as black, you know, influencers that we will do something that is amazing and all that. However, the algorithms will go for the white people or the white people who take their content, our, you know, our creative content, and they use it on their channels, and then they blow up.
Well, you know, it's interesting just, you would raise that because just last night on the program, we were talking about the story out of Facebook. They issued an apology and everything. I think there is something, I'm about halfway being a smartass saying it, but I'm beginning to think it's true. There's something about AI that is inherently racist. Because Facebook launched an algorithm that was discovered to be racist almost immediately. An artificial intelligence algorithm. Somebody uploaded, and the Daily Mail, something like that, reported on it. Someone uploaded a video of black guys in altercations with white cops.
Mm-hmm.
And after the thing played, the Facebook AI asked the viewer, would you like to see more videos about primates?
Oh, my God.
And, as I mentioned last night, that is on the heels of a few years ago when Microsoft launched their own AI bot on Twitter that became a Nazi in 24 hours. It just went out, scanned the internet, and went, well, okay, this is what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the whole thing, like, with the facial recognition software. It doesn't read black people. It doesn't read brown people. It makes us all, you know, so you...
I mean, two of the oldest racist tropes there are. And I'm not even going to say them. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, these goddamn algorithms and AIs are living them from jump.
Well, because look who's in charge of the tech.
Look who's writing them. Sure.
Look who's writing the code. It's the same with medicine. You know, the same algorithms that, you know, are supposed to help people. They're not written for black people. Medicine in general, because first of all, most medication, especially when it comes to, you know, when they have these clinical trials and whatnot and so forth, it's for white people because black people are mess me with that shit, I'm not about to be a part of a clinical trial. So, you know, because, I don't know, Tuskegee. So when you, you know, when it comes to medication and you talk about a dosage, it's not based on, you know, what we, you know, first of all, our melanin content or how the medicine is going to affect our bodies as Black people, because melanin makes a difference. You know, it is a very, you know, it is integral to our bodies and who we are. So if you do not do anything, if your medicine has does not take, you know, into consideration melanin for one thing, and how, you know, our med, you know, our heart rates and our diseases are different because of our bodies, it's, you know, that's why a lot of times medication does not work on Black people, aside from the fact that, you know, let's not talk about the fact how they don't give us the same dosage of pain medicine, because, you know, we take, we can, Black people, especially Black women, can tolerate pain. You know, we have a higher tolerance for pain than, you know, white people and stuff like that. So we, there is the racism that is rampant. We, as Black folks, we can't catch a break. I mean, it's like, it took me years to find, you know, of different cocktails for you know, for my bipolar and stuff like that before it got it right. But then once again, the problem is that I feel a tolerance, and that's anybody. But to, you know, to make stuff work for us, not so much all the time. And it's just, and people don't even think about that. They don't, you know, they do not, because they don't have to. I, you know, it was one of the things for white folks. Black people know everything there is to know about white people, because we have to in order.
Yeah,
to
it's a multi-generational masterclass.
You know, so whereas white people, y'all can live your entire life. First of all, live your entire lives without ever interacting with a Black person, let alone caring about what it takes for who we are as a people. And that's any BIPOC person, you know. So we have to know what, you know, your whims, your likes, your dislikes, you know, what can set you off, what makes you happy, what'll do, you know, how to talk to you, and all these certain things, because, you know, survival. But even those things aren't working anymore, because, you know, back when, before, you know, there was always open season on young Black men, but in the last decade or so, it's just gotten out of control. But, you know, growing up, I had to have a conversation with my son, you know, when he was growing up, about how, you know, because it used to be, the conversation used to be, if you get pulled over, keep your hands on your steering wheel, keep your eyes, you know, straight ahead, and just, you know, answer, you know, as spoken to, you know, no jerky movements, stuff like that. And typically, you were fine. Typically. But then we're talking, I think what happened was when President Obama became president, and Black, white people just lost their fucking minds. And it's like, oh, I mean, I could be wrong. I have no empirical data on this or anything like that. But let's say, when he became president, it's like white folks lost their fucking minds, and we had, you know, bloodshed in the streets. So now the conversation is, fuck if we know what's going to happen. Fuck if I don't know. If I get pulled, even somebody my age, I have, you know, and, you know, you think, oh, women are safe. No, no, we are not. So, you know, we can't even have that conversation anymore, because we do not know if the cop that pulls us over today will be the cop that says, okay, here's your ticket, go on about your business, or will that be the cop that ends our lives? You know,
it's entirely real. It absolutely is.
You know, it, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm pretty sure if I could probably do the research and find it, but I don't want to, because why? Why? I mean, I guess it's important to in certain, you know, in it is that data is important, and but why would I want to know? I don't need empirical data to know what it is, but I guess it would be important to show if I was doing that research, and you know, correlation of violence against Black people, whether it be, you know, the ever present Black on Black crime, and more Black people kill Black people, and please don't miss me with that shit. Them cops kill Black people, and it's like, yeah, but here's the deal. You're supposed to be serving and protecting, and you're not supposed to shoot somebody just because you think that your life is in danger.
Oh, there was a video that went viral over the weekend of a white Chicago cop, big old pasty, doughy SOB, harassing a Black woman who was just walking her dog.
Right. We can't even walk our dogs. We can't even, you know... When I think about all this shit that, I mean, like I said, I live in a predominantly white, middle-class neighborhood in the suburbs of Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley. And I used to go jogging, you know, early in the morning, you know, either right, you know, I would be jogging at night. I mean, early, you know, early morning before the sun came up. Or, you know, as the sun comes up. And here I have to worry whether or not my neighbors are going to call the cops on me because they think I'm casing the joint, you know. And I would get looks like, what are you doing here? Why are you, you know. And I'm like, I'm just trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to be healthy. But I have to, it's like I almost have to wear the sign saying, no, I am not here to rob you. I am just here to, you know, just to work out. But, you know, the side eye I would get, and, you know, and yes, I've had the cops, you know, follow me while I would be running because I know the cops called, somebody called the cops on me. And they knew that, you know, they saw, you know, that I had all my running gear and all this sort of stuff, and they would, you know, eventually drive off. But can you imagine, like, I'm just walking. I'm just running. I'm just trying to be me. I'm just trying to, you know, not be harassed. And so when you talk about things like, you know, when people, white people said, oh, I don't have white privilege. I don't have money, and I said, well, your privilege is the fact that you can walk down the street in your neighborhood and you don't have to worry about the cops being called on you, that you could move to Encino or Brentwood or, you know, Woodland Hills or anywhere like that, and nobody question it. You know, you don't have to have the talk with your sons or your daughters about how to react or how, you know, how to deal with the police. It's like the juxtaposition of a picture of a Black protester being, you know, pepper sprayed and rubber bullets and all this, as opposed to what happened on January the 6th. You know, the reactions of, you know, or how I was watching, you know, about this, you know, these white cops arresting this man, white man with guns, and they're just calmly arresting him, you know, and calmly talking to him and saying, you know, sir, you know, and all, you know, you get sirs and yes, ma'am, and all this. But then you snatch a 14-year-old girl and throw her on the ground because, you know, Black girls, because, you know, so anyhow. Enough of that. So how were you?
Well, you know, apart from everything else, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? Right? Yeah. By the way, you've gotten a couple of notes along the way. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, Cops, you don't even have to get pulled over to get shot by police now. Breonna Taylor, y'all.
Right.
You can just be asleep and they'll kill you. And
in your house.
By the way, with regard to Nexium, it's spelled with a V instead of a U, like it's some sort of Roman thing, as Ron points out. The leader went away from multiple life sentences, and the second in command, Allison Mack, just got like 3.5 years in prison for her crimes. NXIVM. Allison Mack, Ron tells us, who starred in the show Smallville, was put on trial as someone that recruited women for the cult leader. I believe she's still in stir. And is she getting, you know, I mean, is she getting paid, you know, because they're using her story? I don't know. But, you know, goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It's the fact that, you know, they even have a second season of that. But there's been rumblings and rumors that Apple TV may pick up Lovecraft Country. Which I hope they do, because it was an amazing show. And anybody that never watched it last summer, hopefully it's still on HBO, because, you know, they have a tendency to take off stuff that, you know, they've seen. Okay, we showed it, we're good, bye. But they might put it, even if they have taken it off of streaming, they might put it back on just because of, they'll probably put everything back on, you know, like Boardwalk Empire, The Wire, and Lovecraft Country, because of Michael K. Williams, because of his performances in those shows. And another show that, you know, miniseries that he was in was When They See Us, about the Exonerated Five. Speaking of which, you know, this horn ad hoc research department.
Yes.
You know how you see snippets of stuff and you don't go back and you try to find it again, it's gone. But apparently, the district attorney who threw those young men in jail, at first they said that she had no right to sue HBO or Anna DeVernay about this show, the TV show. But now I think she's able to sue for defamation of character or something like that, because, you know, White Women Tears, and she lost her, I guess she had a teaching position at Columbia, and books, and all this, and, you know, basically she made her, you know, she became famous for railroading those, you know, five young children, not young men, children, and let's not forget that bound
Wilding.
Yellow.
Wilding.
And let's not forget that massive, you know, that glob of orange jello who took out full page ads saying that they should get the death penalty. And this is before they had even gone on trial. But he's not a racist.
Right.
He wasn't a racist.
Oh, and by the way, in terms of viewing, Scott in San Diego had a question for you. Have you been watching Spike Lee's documentary series on HBO, NYC Epicenters 9/11 to 2021 and a half? Scott says, I've been watching it. Depressing, yet informative, and straight fucking ahead.
Yeah, no, that's actually good. Thank you for asking, because for extra credit in one of my classes, I have, you know, part of it, we can watch, you know, movies and TV shows and documentaries that are taken through a Black lens, or have, you know, Black, African-American, Black actors and actresses that are, you know, leads in the movie. And I actually, I watched, because I hadn't seen it. And I, you know, I forget how much I love Denzel Washington because he's Denzel. But I had never seen the, speaking of Spike Lee, I had never seen The Inside Man. And man, I watched that movie. I was like, damn it. You know, just if you've never seen it or it's been a long time since you've seen it, give it a watch. I think I'm trying. I have, you know, somebody's like, well, which streaming service is it on? I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. I don't remember who was on. I have Paramount Plus, Hulu, Paramount Plus, Hulu, Peacock, Disney. I know it wasn't on Disney Plus, but it's like I have so many different streaming services now. I never know which shows. But I
oh, yeah, there's a jillion of them, and I've got a bunch of them, but it's guaranteed that whatever it is that I need to watch is going to be the one on the one I don't have.
The one that you don't have. That's usually because I have Apple TV and all that, and it's just like, you know, I just can't keep up. But the cool thing, and this is for all my anybody who has a Roku streaming player, what is really excellent is amazing is that if you have a Roku streaming bar, you know, bar or whatever, and you can go, if you download the Roku app, what is really cool is you can do a search. It'll search on Roku and it'll show every, you know, I was looking for something and it'll show every channel that it's streaming on. And then on the Roku app, you can save the show so you don't have to keep looking for it. So, like, I was looking for some show. I didn't even realize there was a show called Baldwin Hills, which is basically support. It was in the early aughts through shown on BET, which I stopped watching because it was no longer a Black-owned station. And it showed, you know, because it just happens we were talking about it in class. And I was like, oh, so I typed in Baldwin Hills. So it shows, not only it shows where it is, but you can save it on the app, and it's great. So, and like I said, it'll show every streaming channel, even if it's on, you know, like network television, live TV, or what have you, it will show, you know, what channel and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I you know, but thank you, Scott, for that, because I'm always looking for something to watch. Because I watched the other day, I think we talked about this earlier in the summer, Robin, about how I needed some, sometimes I just need Black excellence. And so I watched the Tuskegee Airmen, and as I'm watching that, I went online, and I'm like, what the fuck? It just hit me, Tuskegee Airmen, Tuskegee Experiment.
Right.
And so I Googled, yeah. You know, and I Googled Tuskegee Experiment. And, yeah, so the Tuskegee Experiment had been going on for 9 years because it started, I believe, in 1932. So for nine years. So it had been going on for 9 years, right, you know, as the Tuskegee Airmen were being, you know, founded. So you have this thing like, so, you know, something that, you know, one of the worst, you know, miscarriages of justice in, you know, in the, I mean, fuck, how many miscarriages of justice, how many human rights
violations? Yeah, but where do you start? I mean, what year do you want to start?
Where do you start? I mean, what century, you know, what decade do you want to start? So after I watched the Tuskegee Airmen, I went and watched Miss Evers Boys, which is the fictionalization of, you know, the Tuskegee Experiment. And it's like a fictional account of the Tuskegee Experiment. And it's just, you know, you shake your head and you sit there and you say, fuck this country. But then you think about, you know, I think about like the Tuskegee Airmen who, you know, through the odds, you know, the way they were treated, you know, but they fought for this country. or the black men that came back from World War One and were lynched in their uniforms after fighting for this country. But we, you know, but bottom line is, I still love my country. I don't know if it's, you know, if you call it Stockholm syndrome or what, but this is my country. It's my country more so than a lot of folks, because my ancestors built this bitch for free. So it's like, you know, when they tell people, you know, when you're not considered an American because I'm not a white person, because I'm not patriotic, because I'm not white, it's very, very infuriating, you know, because no matter how badly this country has treated us, we still try to prove that we are worthy. And it just, I don't know. Anyhow, so how was your weekend? How was your Labor Day?
It was, you know, we did a show yesterday. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was in my feud because I meant to call in. The good news is that Jan actually threw some steaks on the grill. We had the ribeye.
See, ribeye really is my, ribeye's my favorite cut.
It was delicious.
Not into the New York strips. It's too easy to get shoe leather out of a New York strip.
Yeah, but the ribeye, and you know, if nothing else, my wife knows how to cook beef, because she is a meat and potato kind of girl.
Up at the Wiggling Pig lately, they have been through the summer. I don't know if they'll continue doing it into the cold weather, but through the summer they've been doing. They're often talked about as either tomahawk ribeyes or lollipop ribeyes. Where you've got the whole rib bone still on it, and that beautiful ribeye right on the end, and so you can pick it up like a cave person, and you know, make all those growling white guy on a plane noise.
Speaking of,
they are tender and delicious.
Can we still say tomahawk though?
Yeah. See, I was thinking about that. I don't think that's appropriate. But, I mean, it was what it was. That's somebody's language. But, okay, here's one for you, and I will infuriate all the rock and roll fans here. I was listening to the Stones while I was driving. Love the Stones. You know, the sad Charlie Watts passed away, 80 years old.
Yeah.
What a drummer. But I was listening to Mick sing.
About Brown Sugar?
Well, no. Pick one, because
The Puerto Rican. Yeah.
But the thing is, they learned their craft, and Charlie in an interview years and years and years ago on Later with Bob Costas, with future Me Too sexual abuser Matt Lauer. Guest hosting, but he interviewed Charlie Watts, and Charlie was talking about the fact that, you know, the Stones became the Stones by sitting around listening to early rock and roll, and of course early rock and roll was Little Richard, Chuck Berry,
you know, Chuck Berry and all that.
And if you've ever heard Mick speak in Mick's native tongue, very, very British. And I can't even do the accent, but like, lady becomes lady, and me becomes meh. Help me. I'm not sure what accent that is, what portion of British English. But when he's singing, if you shut your eyes, you can halfway feel confident saying, that is a black person singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he completely mimics what is primarily black Southern English.
Yep.
And is, you know, is Mick Jagger a multi-gazillionaire appropriationist? I mean, does Waiting for a Friend, because that was one of the things that was on the playlist.
I don't know that one.
not a big Stones person.
Go listen to it.
Let me rephrase. I might have heard it, but just didn't know the name of it. How about that?
But the accent is entirely put on.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, somebody. I'm actually getting agreement because our pal on Twitter, O Pipe Down, said, "Don't get me started on Mick ripping off Tina Turner and all her dance moves too."
That part.
And. Little Richard was pissed about Elvis, and rightly so, because all that was before rock and roll was much. There was rock and roll, but back in the day it was called race music. And
let's not forget what Pat Boone did
at
Tutti Frutti.
Oh please, no, not Pat Boone. I can't.
It's right up there with what Taylor Swift did to September.
Tay-Tay, why'd you have to do that? Why, Tay-Tay, why? But how is that not cultural appropriation?
Because it is.
I mean...
That's one of those things that we talk about in Black Studies.
Yeah, you know, like, little Richard, who, by the way, was really tall. Is that true?
That I don't know. I think he was.
I think I heard something, and that's why, the same way as Chalky White, Little Richard, you apply that,
Jumbo Shrimp.
Yeah. But, he was aggrieved by the fact that he invented rock and roll. And the money poured in to Elvis.
Yeah.
When Elvis was basically just a white guy doing Little Richard's act.
Uh huh. And Chuck Berry, it's like when you think about, and here we talk about that. Stolen wealth from, we're talking about this, in class today about the things that have been appropriated and then sold back to us. You take it, you wrap it up, you make it your own, and then you sell it back to us. Have you heard the term boxer braids?
No.
Boxer braids, with the white girls that are, get wear their hair in cornrows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bo Derek.
MMA fighters and all that. Well, lately with the MMA fighters and what have you, and you have all these white girls with their hair in cornrows. So they don't call them cornrows, Bob. They call them boxer braids. Because somebody was talking, I said, what are boxer braids? And then I'm like, son of a bitch. So it's okay for a white girl to wear boxer braids, but if a sister wears her hair in cornrows, she's unprofessional. That's tacky.
No,
how dare you wear that in public? Have you heard of Amber Ruffin?
Yes.
Okay, so, and anybody who's never heard of her, if you have Peacock, watch her show. It's not going to be. I don't know why they're taking. They're doing a time limit on how long the show's going to run. They're still streaming the show, I think, until the end of this month. Then you won't be able to watch it anymore, which I don't understand why that is happening. But, anyhow. There was this big brouhaha about black women wearing bonnets in public.
Oh, and, God, yes. I heard a little bit about this.
She had a whole segment. Is it really? Okay. Yeah. I'm about to finish, yeah. And so they had this whole brouhaha about black women wearing bonnets in public because, oh my God, it's so tacky and stuff. And she's like, well, you wouldn't have said shit if it was a white girl with a baseball cap, now would you?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, there's two watching things that you guys must watch because they're about to go off. Besides the Amber Ruffin show on Peacock, Larry Wilmore did a show all the way up into past the election. And it's superb. So if you guys have Peacock, watch it. And, oh, and I think that's one of those things on Peacock that's free. So you don't have to... because the app is free, so you don't have to have a subscription to Peacock to watch those two shows. But if you know, we'll just download the app and watch it. Maybe those two, Larry, you know, Larry Wilmore is a genius, and Amber Ruffin, you know, she's amazing. So you guys, you know, watch it while you can before they snap the shit off Peacock, because you know, but you can always still watch the A-Team in Columbo.
Okay, take it easy on Columbo.
No, no, that's my shit. That, Columbo is the straight OG. He's the homie. I love me. I have seen every single
and
Columbo.
Just one more. Episode. Just one more question. Just one more question, ma'am.
Just one more question. Just one more question, ma'am. Anyway, so, but you know, I don't. That's all I have to say, y'all. I just, you know, I just wanted to check in. And
I'm glad you did. I'm so glad you did.
Because you know.
You got to stay checked in, or we worry. Okay, I mean that's just
tell. I've been feeling kind of low, and
wait. Let's get on. You've been feeling kind of puny.
Yeah, I've been feeling kind of puny, kind of poorly.
Yep, poorly, you know, poorly. Miserable, kind of miserable.
Miserable, and shit like that. But I, you know, I'm. I'll be back. I'll be fine. I just gotta, you know, find my mojo. And all that good shit. Maybe it would help if I took a shower. That might help too.
Well, anyhow. You know, we've dropped all the way down to 80 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studios. And
oh, shit.
I think, I'm just a sweaty mess. And I think maybe when we wrap our phone call, I'm going to wrap the program a little bit early simply because I, too, would like to go and get in an ice-cold shower for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that'll help kind of snap me out of this, you know.
Because I'm feeling like my hair is kind of hanging. I'm feeling a little bit like Riff Raff from Rocky Horror right now. And I don't like feeling that way.
I'm feeling, in our favorite word, I'm feeling kind of skeevy.
Yes.
Just like
a little skeevy.
I'm feeling a little skeevy, so I need to go wash my ass, and maybe that'll help snap me out of it, so I can get, you know, oh, and I have Latin homework.
Ooh.
I might be calling you later on.
Oh, that's fine.
I'll be later on.
Amo mama samata, mama samata Agricola, 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 agricola. Agricola, 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 agricolarum, gricolis, gricolos, gricolis, yeah. There we go. Yeah, farmer, and to like or love.
Okay, that's...
But you don't have to memorize that stuff, right?
No, do not.
But the thing is, you'll accidentally memorize it.
That's fine, because I think as long as I don't have to memorize it, then I'll just memorize it because I don't have to.
I think you've got a very crafty professor is what you've got.
He's a crafty one, I tell you. I tell you. Well, anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for letting me whine. You know, do you want some cheese without wine?
Everybody needs a little wine once in a while.
Anyway, I love y'all.
Oh, and, we love you too, dear. And
you know, take care and all that good shit. And hopefully, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, you be good, Tracy. We'll talk soon.
What's the point of being good? It's so
fun. Screw that. You be awesome.
I can't. I'll take awesome.
Okay, and by the way, Little Richard was 5'10", according to Lee in New York.
Yeah, damn. He was, what was that?
I think the pompadour took him to like 6'2".
That part. All right, I'm out. Love you. Talk to you later.
All right, you take care. See you, Tracy.
Bye.
Bye. the one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver. And, you know, we do, you know, we do struggle sometimes, and it's okay, and it's really good when we reach out when we do. By the way, I'm being taken to task by Brother Deacon Asa. Your ribeye exceptionalism is unwarranted, Kincaid. They're both cut from the same longissimus dorsi muscle. The only real difference is the cap, you elitist bastard. And Little Richard was 5'9", by the way. God, the knowledge, the storehouse of knowledge of this community never ceases to amaze me. Yeah, but it's in the how of the cut. They cut it, you cut the thing different. A ribeye is not the same as a New York strip. It just isn't, damn it, and you will not convince me otherwise. Stop with your middling deprecation of the noble ribeye, or Delmonico, as some people call them. Yeah. Let's see. Jude, by the way, says, every Sunday evening, I never missed Columbo. Maybe take care by drifting off while watching reruns of our Columbo. Take care, Tracy. Yeah, Columbo is just fun. And it was interesting. It was because, unlike most formula mysteries, they told you who did it right up front. That was not the mystery. The mystery was how Columbo would get there to figure it out. And it was a delight. It absolutely was. Jude adds, by the way, Ruth Carroll Taylor, born 1931. In 1958, the first African-American flight attendant was hired, Ruth Carroll Taylor. I discovered her story around 2004. She wrote a small paper book on how to speak to one's son. Its focus is pinpointed on young black boys and aged up. Its concern being aware and wise when leaving their homes. The little black book is concise, clear, and short. I had the honor of talking with this warm and keenly focused lady on the phone as she was sending me copies of the book so I could sit with my grandsons and read. And sends me a link to... a bit of a bio of Ruth Carroll Taylor. Journalist and nurse and the first African-American flight attendant in the United States. She joined Mohawk Airlines in 1958. And she spent a life as an activist for minority and women's rights. So, let's see. What else is... you know, we're just not over the growling passenger, are we? Ron and Raleigh said, before I announced it, said, I can tell you right now this guy is white. Imagine a black man doing that. Oh. Please. On the other hand, a little bit of good news. A Karen was removed from a JetBlue flight in handcuffs recently. The TikTok video has been seen more than 1.2 million times. She's handcuffed, being taken through an unnamed airport in a wheelchair by several Transportation Security Administration officers. Handcuffed and wheeled off a JetBlue flight after refusing to wear a mask. And she's hollering in outrage, I haven't done anything! Well, we can talk about this off the aircraft.
No, we won't.
Otherwise, we're going to have to take everyone off.
Then take everyone off.
Okay, you want to make it hard? We're going to make it hard.
But I haven't done anything wrong.
Oh, for God's sakes. That's very caring of her. Yeah.
Guys, my daughter's going to college.
Oh, for God's sakes. And so they deplaned the whole vessel to remove this one COVIDiot white woman. And almost 2 years into this pandemic, and some people still don't understand. And they agreed to wear the mask when they bought the damn ticket and when they checked into the flight. And JetBlue has a COVID info hub where they say, the mask is not an ask. Also on the JetBlue website, it says, federal law requires masks to be worn by all travelers 2 years and older at all times throughout the flight, including during boarding and deplaning and in the airport. Good God. But July, well, American Airlines had an asshole who wouldn't wear their mask. And then later in July, a little over a month ago, 5 men arrested at the Florida airport because they started a brawl because they wouldn't wear a mask. Good God. And while we are at it, by the way, pediatric cases of COVID have gotten to the highest point in the pandemic thus far. Yeah, I'm so old I can remember. Well, it doesn't really affect children. Bullshit. 4.5 million people are dead from COVID worldwide. Probably double that if you get past the reported part. We are presently at 62.3% of Americans 12 and up fully vaccinated. And that is why we can't have nice things. So there were 251,781 reported cases of COVID-19 among kids during the week that ended September 2nd. And the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association pointed out in their report that is the highest week of pediatric cases since the pandemic began. Gosh, do you remember?
It'll be gone in April when it warms up.
Yeah. But new cases, new pediatric cases are rising, and these organizations know the meaning of the word when they use it. The cases are rising exponentially. The weekly figure is nearly 300 times higher than it was in June. Just this past week, 26.8% of all reported COVID-19 cases were among children. And, of course, in the Confederacy, where they claim to be pro-life, well, they've got the highest number of pediatric cases. 140,000 of last week's cases came out of the Maggot South. Yeah. Jesus. And meanwhile, the American Association of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association say that they urgently need to collect more data on long-term consequences of the pandemic on children, including the ways the virus may harm the long-term physical health of infected children as well as its emotional and mental health effects. God. So here's the vaccination numbers. 37.7% of children between 12 and 15 have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated. 46.4% of adolescents 16 to 17 have been fully vaccinated. That's terrifying. And meanwhile, Jim Shorts Jordan, because Jim Shorts Jordan, well, he tweeted on Labor Day, "Vaccine mandates are un-American." You fucking idiot. You goddamn boob. You silly fucking twit. I guess he doesn't count as American, George Washington. There was a smallpox outbreak all over the young nation in 1777. And George Washington said, "Screw it. I'm issuing an order. Everybody in the Continental Army has to be vaccinated against smallpox." And they were. Because disease can decimate an army, destroy an army, more quickly than almost any other opposing military. Those are lessons that have been learned down through history. Interviewed by the Washington Post about Jim Shorts Jordan's tweet, Julian E. Zelizer, who's a political historian at Princeton, said, "Congressman Jordan's just wrong. There's more than enough history to show we have a precedent for requiring vaccines that goes all the way to George Washington. This claim that it's somehow un-American doesn't match with the actual historical record." I don't think there's much of an argument here, which is the polite Princeton professor way of saying, "God damn, Jim Shorts Jordan's a dumbass." Meanwhile, in Ohio, the Washington Post found, where Jim Shorts Jordan comes from and where he ignored allegations of rape of young men by a physician who was on staff for the Ohio State University Athletic Department. Well, 3,300 people in Ohio are hospitalized with COVID-19. Hospitalizations there are up by 16%. The seven-day average is running at 6,022 new daily coronavirus cases. And they are under 49% fully vaccinated. So, Governor Mike DeMaggett, I don't care how much he says that, you know, I'm not a Trumper. Bullshit. No, Ohio will not have a vaccine mandate.
It's an individual decision that people will have to make, and government should not be involved in mandating it.
Which is another way of saying, fuck it! Let my constituents die. Yeah. And there are, you know, it's not just, you know, that dude in the ICU in Nashville talked to Nashville Public Radio that we talked about earlier in the program. How about Benjamin Franklin? Benjamin Franklin was being the father of the American Philosophical Society alongside Agnes's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. When Franklin's autobiography was published, one of the things was that he said in there is that, I long regretted bitterly and still regret that I didn't inoculate my four-year-old son Frankie, because little four-year-old Frankie died of smallpox. John Adams was immunized against it. Martha Washington was immunized against it. Yeah. It was February 1777 when Washington said, I have determined that the troops shall be inoculated. Necessity not only authorizes, but seems to require the measure, for should the disorder infect the army in the natural way and rage with its usual virulence, we should have more to dread from it than from the sword of the enemy. Not the brightest bulb in the shed, George Washington, but he got that part. And maybe the troops weren't so crazy about it, but they followed orders because it beat being shot as a deserter or a traitor. 1905, the Supreme Court says by a 7-2 vote that public health supersedes individual rights. Yeah. That case was, that case came to life because another fucking preacher said, I refuse to be vaccinated against smallpox because it's my personal liberty. And so in February 1905, the Supreme Court said, uh-uh.
The liberty secured by the Constitution of the United States to every person within its jurisdiction does not import an absolute right in each person to be at all times and in all circumstances wholly free from restraint.
Once again, proving he was the smartest guy on the court, those words were written by John Marshall Harlan, whom we talked about last night as being almost prophetic in his blazing dissent in Plessy versus Ferguson. This time he won the argument. There are manifold restraints to which every person is necessarily subject for the common good. So once again, Jim Shorts Jordan is a goddamn idiot. I mean, doesn't have enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. Yeah. Meanwhile, Professor Zelizer from Princeton told the Washington Post, what we haven't had is almost a party position that just flies in the face of public health experts who are not only saying this about the importance of the vaccine, but also demonstrating it in the data. And these are big platforms on which Jordan and Republicans are expressing these views. It's quite a combination, and it's why it's been such a difficult challenge. And yet here we sit. And for so many people, here we die. And, you know, I've tried to be careful the whole, through the entire process. Lots of hand washing, lots of hand sanitizer, lots of masking. Social distance, all of that. And now it's as if it was not important before, it's even more so. Because with the date that's coming up, November 9th, I will be COVID tested on November 7th. And I have to have a negative test to be, in order for what happens on November 9th to happen. I'm still searching for that full body condom. I swear I am. Oh, and by the way, while we're decrying the horse shit in Texas in regard to the Texas gynophobia, well, today, Gag Abbott signed the voter suppression law into effect in Texas. Senate Bill 1 will make it immensely harder for people of color to vote in the state of Texas, and of course that's how it's supposed to be. And as usual, there was the signing ceremony people. Let's see, there's a blonde white girl in cowboy boots. And 10 white guys. But they did manage to convince one black dude to come. Yay, I'm not going to get to vote next time. I'm so happy. They really do have photographic optics problems in Texas, don't they? And it's all because of the bullshit that's been pumped into the body politic, poured into the ears and eyes of otherwise otne ute itbre if you one what I in me Americans, that there was something wrong with the 2020 election when it was one of the cleanest elections ever held. Speaking at his signing ceremony, the dictator of Texas said, "One thing that all Texans can agree on, and that is that we must have trust and confidence in our elections. The bill that I'm about to sign helps to achieve that goal." No, it doesn't, because there's no evidence of voter fraud anywhere in the state. And we have a Supreme Court that will happily leave it stand. It'll be a felony now in Texas if an election official sends out applications for mail-in ballot requests to voters if the voters did not request them themselves. Yep. Pandemic or no pandemic. Don't want people voting. Yeah. And poll watchers can now move freely within polling places and observe all election activities. By move freely within polling places, that means they can breathe down the neck of people who are voting that they don't think should be. And they've criminalized poll officials, making it a criminal offense, for instance, if an election worker knowingly prevents a watcher from observing an activity. That's kind of fluid, isn't it? What does watching mean? Breathing down the neck of? So it's a crime now? What you're going to wind up having is a bunch of people not wanting to be election officials in Texas anymore, because who wants to be subjected to criminal liability just for trying to make sure that the election goes smoothly. And that means that Republicans can just move in and make sure that the wrong people don't vote. Yeah. And all of this will be in play when the 2022 elections come along with new congressional seats, redistricting, and all the dirty business that the Republican-controlled legislature will engage in to make sure that Democrats, who outnumber Republicans in Texas, don't have proportional representation in the Congress of the United States, and God knows not in the Texas legislature. In fact, it goes into effect this coming December 3rd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor Texas. I wonder what John Bridwell must think. But one state away, there's Arizona, where they've got a state senator by the name of Wendy Rogers. And Wendy Rogers does not like Labor Day. Imagine that being a viable position for a politician to hold in the United States of America, but yes. Tweeting on September the 6th, you know, yesterday, Wendy Rogers, Republican, said, Labor Day, and this is not a joke, Labor Day is a communist holiday. This, of course, in the same state that refused to recognize the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday. Oh, well, at Wendy Rogers AZ, Labor Day is a communist holiday. Some wag replied, you do realize that if you keep falsely calling all good things communist, you're only going to make communism more attractive, no? And the Arizona House Democrats tweeted, says the heart and soul of Arizona's Republican Party. Prove us wrong. Good God. And as the article points out, Labor Day was first celebrated in New York in 1882. That from Newsweek. And it became an official federal holiday 12 years later in 1894. The first state to pass a law recognizing Labor Day was Oregon in February 1887. Then came Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. Mm-hmm. Of course, Wendy Rogers is full on maggot. She still says Donald Trump won the election in November 2020. He won the election by not getting 7 million more votes than, yeah. And she's a big follower of the Goober Ninjas or whatever that did the stupid so-called recount in Arizona. Things are really taking off. Let's get to 1 million ASAP. Audit results are coming soon. More states are coming online. She wants 1 million signatures for the election to be decertified so Nitwit Nero can finally be president some more. Jesus. Ah, okay, that's quality. Scott in San Diego says, tell Wendy Rogers Lenin's tomb is a communist plot. Ba-dum-bum. Little jingle. Yeah, right. I know. A message to the Texas GOP, Scott sent along. May the fetus you save be a black, gay, Wiccan Democrat. Yeah, that works for me. Good God. But by the way, and Sparky sent this along as we move toward wrapping things up, I didn't quit early after all. According to Greg Abbott, Greg Bigot, the abortion bill won't force rape victims to have babies.
Texas is going to eliminate the rapists. Meanwhile, if Uncle Daddy rapes his young daughter, and she tries to get an abortion, he can sue anybody who helps her, get the $10,000, and still be her guardian at law. Ah! The eyes of Texas are upon you in a really creepy way. He says, I mean, rape victims get 6 weeks to get an abortion, and it doesn't do that. It doesn't make them have their rapist kid. Let's be clear, rape is a crime. And Texas will work tirelessly to make sure that we eliminate all rapists from the streets of Texas by aggressively going out and arresting them and prosecuting them and getting them off the streets. Problem with that, Greg, is that they're only rapists after they commit the rape. Fucking idiot. God, they're stupid. And what, I mean, tell me about the Texas Republicans who hear that and go, yup. It's like dithering Jim Justice saying, "Well, you're not in no way, shape, form, or fashion does letting the counties decide who has to wear a mask make it any worse here." Yeah, it does. Because if one county has a mask mandate and the other doesn't, and there's no enforcement anyway, good God. Hey, wow. That's awesome. Thank you, Colin. We have narrowly avoided a goose egg this evening. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very kindly. We are down to 510 to get caught up. And that's just awesome. Thank you so much, Colin. That really does help. Everything helps. Thank you so much. And like I said, as I wrap up, one last thing. I mentioned the story last night, or yesterday's program, about the ex-Marine who went into a total stranger's home, killed a mother, her infant child, her husband, and her mom, and shot 7 times, although the child survived, an 11-year-old. Well, there's a bit of a follow-up on it, because the sheriff of Polk County decided to opine on the issue, and he said that Brian Riley, 33-year-old white guy, who said he'd been on meth and God was talking to him, well, he's facing 17 charges, 4 counts first-degree murder, 7 counts of attempted first-degree murder of a law enforcement officer, 2 counts of shooting into a building, 2 counts of armed burglary, second-degree arson, and attempted first-degree murder with a weapon. And so when he gave the press conference, the sheriff had to be all butch. And he said that the 33-year-old murderer, the lawful gun owner, by the way, no criminal record whatsoever, lawfully owned the weapons, bought them lawfully, possessed them lawfully, and only became an unlawful gun owner when he slaughtered 4 total strangers and maimed a 5th. Well, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said, well, he was a coward. That's what he was. He's a coward. He came out with his hands up, and that's why there was no further gunfire. It would have been nice if he'd come out with a gun. If he'd given us the opportunity, we would have shot him up a lot. But he didn't, because he was a coward. See, it's easy to shoot innocent children and babies and people in the middle of the night when you've got the gun and they don't, but he wasn't much of a man. Jesus. You gotta slaughter of an entire family, and an 11-year-old turned into an orphan who will be absolutely mind-fucked by this for the rest of her life, and the sheriff of Polk County, Florida, is out there engaging in a goddamn dick-measuring contest. Really?
He's a coward. We'd have shot him real good. We'd have blowed his ass away. That's what we'd have done. We'd have shot. Oh, we'd have filled him full of. We would have chopped him into a fucking chutney if he'd just come out with a gun. But he'd come out with his hands up because he's a coward.
He is the bitter fruit that fell from a poisonous tree named Iraq and Afghanistan.
Maybe somebody needs to send this fucking news story to George W. Bush or Dick Cheney and that decent human being's heart beating in his chest. Send it to Paul Wolfowitz. Donald Rumsfeld is fucking dead. Have another pineapple, Don. Yeah. Send this story to the Southern Baptist Church that when George W. Bush started his war against the innocent people of Iraq, said, well, Jesus, Peter owned a sword. So there ain't nothing wrong with us invading the country. Ain't done a damn thing to us. God bless America and Jesus. Yeah, he's a coward. We wanted to shoot the shit out of him. But then he come out and we couldn't shoot him. God damn it. See how macho I am? I'm running for re-election, by the way. Make sure you vote for me, because I'm badass. I can talk about how I want to shoot people. Fuck. Oh, what happens on November 9th, Cynthia wants to know. Is that your surgery date? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And let's see, we are 2 months and 2 days. 2 months and 2 days. So there we go. So that's the program. Thank you again, Colin, for getting us off the schneid, and anybody who wants to help out over the in the overnight crew, please feel free. Thank you so much to all of you who keep this program on the air. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. And thank you to Steve from Georgistan. Thank you both. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, if you're listening live. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now, by God, a union shop. And this would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. Please, please. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster when you can. Encourage someone who's unvaccinated to please get theirs. Wash your face, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Hell, wash your face, too. Carry your hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go and use it liberally. Wear your mask. Don't wait around for a mandate. Wear your damn mask. We want to survive this. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. For God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, Labor Day is a communist holiday, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.